Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Now, you're very welcome back to Off the Ball this evening. Neil Tracy here with you until 10 o'clock this evening on News Talk. Now, it's been retirement week for some of Mayo's greats. Donal Vaughan, David Clark, and most recently Tom Parsons, all confirming their retirement in consecutive days. Donal Vaughan was first up on Sunday, then David Clark yesterday, and as we said, Tom Parsons today. And I suppose to look back on those players' legacies and look ahead to the holes that need to be filled in Mayo and who can do it. Delighted to be joined by two former Mayo legends, Billy Joe Padden and Andy Moran. Evening, guys.
Good evening.
Billy Joe, I'll start with you, I suppose. It's been a strange week. Are we going to get a full week of this?
Could happen. It could happen. There's, you know, a number of senior players in the squad that I'm sure that are mulling over their futures in terms of what they want to do next year. And then I suppose the unknown element of it as well in terms of when and what form football will look like next season, that still kind of remains in the balance to some extent. But I think at this stage, you know, it's important to look back on the contribution of those players, of Donny Vaughan and David Clark and Tom Parsons. And I know that all Mayo supporters are thankful for their efforts, their contribution, and just even their character and the way they've held themselves over the last number of years and put in some huge performances for Mayo GAA that, you know, we'll all recall fondly.
Yeah, and like, you know, I suppose there is the positive of it is all three of these players are making the decision themselves to step away because they feel the time is right. It, you know, we've had instances over winters where players have walked off panels because they're unhappy, players have been dropped unceremoniously, or players have had careers cut short due to injury. So when you have three greats like that, that have kind of been mainstays of a Mayo team over the past decade, or in the case of David Clark, over the past 15 years, that, you know, it is nice that they can have their day. And in fairness to them, they staggered it all out so they could each have their day individually.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But I think it's generally, when you've done as much for your county as each of those three fellas have over the last number of years, and in terms of, obviously, you know, the performances on the field, but just as well in terms of setting the culture in that group, in terms of setting the standards for what Mayo football has to try to aspire to year on year, and those three players in particular were very important in that element of it. I think that it's only right then that they get that opportunity to make their own decisions in that regard. And the three players are particularly, you know, are so professional in I suppose in their approach, and they look after themselves so well and do everything in the right way and always put the team first, I would say, is probably the key characters that each of those three players had, that they were never going to make a decision that was based solely on what was right for them and let the team down or put themselves before the team in any situation. But you're right, I'm glad that they get to make the decision on their own terms.
Andy Moran is with us as well. Evening, Andy. You were down on the long road with these players over the course of the last decade.
Ah, yeah. It's been a tough 3 days now with all the guys retiring. But it's, it's done now. And just hopefully there's no more.
Fingers crossed. Anyway, you don't have any inside information on that now, because, there are a lot of players in that age bracket, and as we were saying in the news round, we don't want to be kind of like singling out players and almost kind of retiring them before they get the chance to do it themselves. But
you were retiring me in 2014, so you're as well as Charles. I know. Yeah.
But we wanted to get more access to you in those match days, Andy. You were such a revelation this year, you know. We wanted to get you up into the media box.
He retired Billy Joe and he went up to Armagh, so the crack is good. But honestly, though, we're in the situation where there is a couple of guys there. There's no point hiding behind us. We were always kind of going to be in this situation either at the end of the 2020 season or at the end of the 2021 season. And it's just came, I suppose, three shots out of the blue. Donny went first Clarkey, who had a really, really good season and a good All-Ireland final, went, and then Tom Parsons, who came on in an All-Ireland semi-final. And it's big playing wise, but away from the playing side of it, and Billy was going through it, away from the playing side of it, these three guys are huge losses, and there's no hiding behind that fact.
Yeah, I think in particular today's news with Tom Parsons, I think so many people were just delighted that he was able to make that decision himself based on what he went through a couple of years ago, that I think we were all just so happy that he was able to get out onto the pitch. And I would say it was a big moment for him to just be able to decide himself that this was the right time to retire rather than having that decision made for him.
Yeah, and sometimes you look around, your life definitely takes over. We all get into this situation where you have to think what's best for me, what's best for my family, my kids, and things like that. And I'm sure Tom looked at that. But then you look around the playing group as well. And when the game was in the melting pot there in the last 10 minutes of the All-Ireland final, me personally, I was screaming for Tom Parsons and Keith Higgins and these guys to be run on, but they weren't. And they look at that side of things as well. And people say the short season, you know, why don't they stay at it for another 6-7 months? And there is an argument there. But then you look at the other argument, we're not going to go back training now till the 1st of February at least. You have 2-3 weeks to get ready for a league game, and you need to tell James Horne and show James Horne that you're ready to play before the middle of April. And that's tough for an older player, because what an older player needs is time to get his body right, time to get himself mentally right. And then when the season gets longer and it gets, your body gets used to the intense training, then you usually see the older player coming to the fore. And that's where it gets difficult when you're in that 33, 34 age bracket, and the decisions become difficult.
Yeah, Billy Joe, like that's where the weight of each decision is kind of sitting at the moment, because on one hand, you'd have guys who are well into 30s at this stage, but on the other hand, you know, and they've just been on the back of an All-Ireland final season. But the flip side as well is that this is going to be a shortened season as well, with a shortened turnaround, and it's going to be wrapped up a little bit quicker. So the incentive for some players could be there to think, you know what, it's going to be a shortened season. I might just have enough time to have one last crack at this.
I think so, and I think we could, you're right, I don't really want to mention names of who's on the squad and who is in their 30s and maybe thinking about retiring, but I think there's a number of them that have made significant contributions this last season, and you obviously would urge those players to continue because it is a shortened season and they have much more to give, and even other players that maybe didn't play as much still have a lot to offer when, as Andy says, if they get the opportunity to get their body right, get, you know, some of those injuries that they may be dealing with at present sorted out and deal with that way and have plenty to offer. And I think that for the squad and for James Horne in particular, I think it's just to expand on Andy's point, is that, you know, Andy included and many of his peers in that Mayo group over the last 10-15 years have kind of set a standard that you have to aspire to. The three players that are leaving now were obviously key members in developing that and holding people accountable in the group. And that's why I think it's so important that, you know, Cullen Boyle and Chris Barrett and players like that continue to set those standards in the group, because it's going to be so important for some of the younger players to see that this is what's required, this is the standard you have to set and what you have to continue with and even reach beyond that. And that'll be vitally important for James Horne, whatever form the championship takes next season.
Yeah, Andy.
Yeah, Billy, just coming in on Billy's point there, like, he's 100% right. It's very important for this Mayo team that these are managed. That, like we've seen with Cork in 2010, that great Cork team that won many leagues, got over the line in 2010, won their All-Ireland. And there was a huge vacuum then when the likes of Canty, Pearce O'Neill, Miskela, Pádraig Casán, Noel O'Leary, all these guys just dropped off at the same time. And it was too big of a gap to fill in. Cork kind of fell away. And it's very important that the standard setters, like you look at Donny Vaughan, comes in 2011, we had just kind of lost the Jimmy Nallans, the Kieran McDonalds, all these, the word, bang, he sets the standard. James Horne can now turn to Donny Vaughan and say, or to all the other lads and say, you need to get up with the runs with Donny Vaughan. You look at the likes of Clarkey, many disappointments, like huge disappointments in terms of injuries, loss in terms of finals, the like not getting, I'll give you an example, Ballina playing the All-Ireland Club Final, not starting that day. John Healy started because Clarkey was just coming back from an injury, never got his place back on the team, and kept coming, kept improving, and all of a sudden became one of the best keepers in the country. You look at Tom Parsons, who's retired today, gets dropped from James Horan originally, comes back in 14 and becomes a huge member of the team. And the standards these guys set are just... like the vacuum they leave is huge. And when me and Billy Joe, particularly me, when I first joined the panel, we had Gary Ruan, we had Fergal Costello, we had Joe Kieran McDonald, Jimmy Nallen, David Heaney, and they showed us the way. And it's just important that, as Billy said, Keith Higgins, Chris Barrett, Colin Boyle, Shamie Shea, all these boys kind of stay on to show the new guys, those Sheen Mullins, the Owen McLaughlins, show them the way and show them what's really needed to get to the top of the game.
Yeah, so like even if the likes of those players you mentioned there, like Keith Higgins, Colin Boyle, Shamie O'Shea, like even if they aren't firmly part of James Horan's plans for a starting 15 or to be in a championship side, that just to make sure that there's a kind of a trickle effect from one generation to the next, that you're not, as you say, losing a big chunk of players like Cork might have done at the start of the last decade, that you can slowly kind of bring in a couple of players here, there, a couple of players drop out season on season. And like we've kind of seen with Dublin almost over the last few years, that when a couple of players go, there's a couple of new guys to come in rather than six or seven at a time in one split season.
Yeah, if you're coming to me and that's, I think that's the Dublin or the name that keeps top on my list today, is that Joe Bernard drops away, but it's only Bernard. I know Jeremy Connolly dropped away, but Jeremy was kind of coming and going the last couple of years. You might have won this year, you might have won the next year, and they do it really, really well. And I do think it's important to manage them retirements because, as I said, the dressing room, I'm sure James Horan wanted to drop one or two players at the end of the season that mightn't be performing up to standards. But then all of a sudden you might have three to five retirements, and then is there five good players to come in and replace them at the minute? Then that's going to be difficult in a shortened kind of pre-season window.
Billy Joe?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think that the one thing, and Andy would have an opinion on this, I'm sure, as well, is that James Horan has a great track record with bringing new players in, bringing them up to a high level to perform at Intercounty. He used 37 players through league and championship last year. Obviously, that included some of the players, even though I think Donny Vaughan, through injuries, didn't play any football last year. He had such a difficult time with injuries. There are young players there in the squad that have had a taste of it. That doesn't mean that they're the finished product by any means, or that they're absolutely ready, or even that their mentality is 100% right for what you need to do to play at a high level over a 9-10 month inter-county season. But it means that they have some experience in that regard. And I think that he'll draw heavily on those players that have some experience and try and get them to take the next step over the next season with the help of those players that Andy mentioned, some of those senior players, in terms of, you know, dealing with the hurdles you'll have to deal with. You know, young players sometimes come in and they play two good games in a row and everything's going well, and then the lull comes and it's difficult for two or three games, and it's how you rebound from those situations that's as important as any. And I'm sure that the experienced players would be very helpful in that aspect, in terms of the mentality of a squad as a whole.
Yeah, Horan's record is superb. In terms of, we go back to it, his winning record, he's six seasons played, he's five Connacht titles, and the year he didn't win the Connacht title, he won the National League. So he's got a track record in terms of how to get players right, how to get young players moving. I was lucky enough to be part of an under 20 coaching squad this year with Mayo, and there is talent there. There definitely is players there, and Horan will give them the confidence to go and kind of push. But you are replacing some of the best players that have played for the county over the last 20, 30 years. So it's that's not an easy task, but James is definitely a good guy to have in place to try to fill that void.
Billy Joe, I don't think it's like overstating it or kind of, you know, blowing it out of proportion, that it's probably the most important maybe 2-year period coming up that Mayo have had for pretty much the last decade or 15 years.
Yeah, well, Andy made a great example there in the Cork example, and that the way they've fallen off, and Mayo will definitely be trying to avoid that. And I think that's why the next league campaign is so important. Mayo have, I suppose, developed all their young players in Division 1, where you can't afford to learn bad habits because you'll get punished. And I think that has been also a huge element in terms of Mayo's younger players coming into this to a Division 1 environment and having to get up to speed quickly, because you don't have time to take liberties or develop bad habits in Division 2, where you might get away with it in Division 2. That doesn't happen in Division 1. So they have to get out of there. And I've said this, that it'll you can't rely on Aidan O'Shea or Chris Barrett or Killian O'Connor to Kevin McLaughlin to drag you out of Division 2. That's going to have to fall on the shoulder of some of those younger players. It might even be players like Tommy Conroy, Oisin Mullen, you know, James Carr. You know, can he stay fit? Players like that, Conor Loftus, Matty Rowe in the middle of the field, can they be the players that grab by the scruff of the neck and get you out of Division 2? And then you go into a summer with some of those older players, maybe haven't had the time, as Andy says, to prepare themselves properly for an attack on a championship. But those young players have to show the Mayo supporters that they have the mentality and the footballing ability to get them back into Division 1 as their first task.
Is it a case that kind of everyone at various levels of the squad has to kind of step up in a way that the likes of Killian O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea, guys who've been there a while but are nowhere near retirement age, that they have to step up, and like they probably have been the leaders as such for the last few years, but the guys who maybe have been on the squad 3 or 4 years and are at that mid-20s level, where up until recently we were talking about them as the future and the young guys in the squad, all of a sudden they are now they're the established part of the team, and they have to help bring in the even younger guys who might be coming just out of minor or under-20s.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. In terms of playing, these guys are well able to play. And myself and Billy were part of squads before where we talent coming out of us. It was we brilliant players. But what we probably lacked was the training intensity and the attention to detail and the drive when it comes to training, to have every training session counting and all that. And under James in 2011, And on from there to this point, he and Stephen Rochford and Pat and Noel and all these guys kind of pushed that on, along with Keane O'Neill and Donny Buckley. So where the big players, the likes of Tom Parsons, who played very little this year, the likes of Donny Vaughan, who played very little this year, and Shamie O'Shea and these guys, where they really, their real effect is in training. And it's if these young guys know enough that in training, if something isn't going well, that isn't being pushed, just say Killian doesn't play a couple of league games, who then at training drives that training session on? Who really pushes the standards? Who's the real kind of, who's going to come out of that pack to be the real leader of that group? And you have some standout candidates in Stephen Cohen and Jeremy O'Connor and these guys who've won minors and 21s and have been part of the team for the last while. But that's going to be the difficulty. I think on match day, you will see the result of what's happened at training for the last 3, 4, 6 weeks before it.
Who were those players when the two of you would have been coming up into the early stages of your careers at Mayo?
Well, for me, definitely, I'm just a little bit older than Andy. Coming into the squad like that, you're dealing with the 96 and 97 Mayo team. So Andy's mentioned some of these players already. In terms of setting the standards, you had Noel Kennelly and James Nallan, David Heaney, Gary Ruan, you know, physically setting the standard every day in, day out, Dave Brady. And I like that was important that you could get up to that level and improve that. But I would even say, and not experiencing that the level that Andy's team, you know, when I was long gone, that the level of consistency and the level of preparation that they achieved was even greater again. Because it just, to maintain that sort of consistency, and I always say that this Mayo team over the last 10 years was very different to any team I played on. Andy's well qualified to speak on both because he's played on both teams. But I definitely think that it was a step above in terms of preparation, and that resulted in that Mayo team being better and being more consistent over a longer period. All right, the team I was able to play on were capable of big performances, but we probably weren't capable of putting 5 or 6 of those back together, back to back to back, and that's what you have to do to win a championship.
Yeah, we were very lucky too, myself and Billy Joe. We, in 2003-04, we had an exceptional captain in Fergal Costello, assisted by Gary Ruan, they were just two brilliant guys. Men, kind of, we were just boys. They were kind of the men of the room. Then you had McDonald, who came in 2004, and then we Kevin O'Neill, who came in 2006 and probably united the younger fellas with the older fellas. So you've always got good guys there that can kind of show you the way. But, to me, the difficulty now is, or the sorry, not the difficulty, the main focus now is going to be on the coaching. And when we went in 2011, we were decent. We got to a semi-final, we did okay. But the big introduction was in 2012, we got Keane O'Neill, who gave us a new level of kind of excellence, performance, consistency, what you needed to do in training. When Keane O'Neill left then in 2000, at the end of 2012, Donny Buckley comes in, gives us a new level of consistency, quality, performance, and what we need to do day in, day out. Now, James has got an exceptional coach at the minute. Young guy, James Burke, he's my own native. He plays for Ballymun there in Dublin. Really, really strong coach. And I think a lot of the onus is going to come on him. He mightn't thank me for saying it, but a lot of the onus is going to come on him to show these guys the way, to show them the excellence that's needed moving forward. And I think he's well capable of doing that because he's a really, really quality fella.
And do you get the impression from what you would have seen in 2020 that the talent is there among the younger players in the squad?
Oh, it always is. Billy Joe mentioned a guy there, James Carr, played very little this year. Oisín Mullen, if you look at it, the Galway under 20 team that won the under 20 All-Ireland, the best our under 20 team on penalties in a storm in Castlebar, but an exceptional game from both teams. Out of that team there was six under 20s, in five including Oisín Mullen, which is six. Oisín was already in the squad, who James immediately promoted into the senior squad. So them guys are nearly ready to go. A lot of them togged out the last day. They include Paul Towie, Dave McBrien, Rory Brickington, Mark Moore, and Joe, there's other guys there, Jack Kearney from Kilmina, Enda Hessian from Gary Moore. There's really, really good quality players, but it's how quick they can get there. And as Billy said, can they give that consistency of performance through Division 2 and get us straight back up into Division 1? I think that's going to be the first task.
And another task then, Billy Joe, is obviously that there's, with so many players leaving, like there's a good bit of pressure on these young guys now. That, you know, they aren't just here to be given a shot and to see how they go. That there's a kind of a comfort blanket of so much experience elsewhere in the squad that the light is kind of on them now.
I don't know what I call it, pressure, because there's so many players there that are, you know, and Andy's listed a bunch of them, that, you know, when James Horn used 37 players, you know, there's real competition for places there. But there definitely is expectation that certain players will get to the next level. And the leadership role will be assumed by Dermot O'Connor and Darren Cohen and players like that. And they're well able for that. They're experienced enough. They have enough quality in terms of their makeup as individuals and their character. And they're good enough footballers to do that. Underneath them, I suppose, with less experience, there's competition for places. You know, James Carr, Tommy Conroy, you know, they're going to be Towie, they're going to be fighting it out for the same positions on the field, and it's who's ever in the best form at the time, and that's the way you want to be. You look at the half back line again. You know, Mo McLaughlin there, Oisín Mullen might want to play further out the field. All that sort of competition will kind of take away maybe some of that pressure, because the first thing you have to do is kind of, you know, get your place in the team and then develop and play to the standards that's required of you. But again, so, you know, Killian O'Connor and Aidan O'Shea and Dermot O'Connor, players like that are going to be hugely important in that setup, in terms of just being the reference point for the rest of the players, in terms of in training, in games. When you're in a sticky situation, we have to react like these experienced players, like the way Killian O'Connor would react, take the ball on himself, take the responsibility. And I do believe that James Horn creates the environment for those young players to do that. And I think that if they can stay on the field, if James Carr, for instance, if he can stay injury free, and if himself and Tommy Conroy can play a lot of football together with Killian O'Connor, well, they're only going to improve because of playing with a player like Killian.
Andy, are there a couple of names to keep an eye out for, I suppose, the general public who might not know necessarily? I'm not talking about guys now like Tommy Conroy or Oisín Mullen or anything like that, who we would have seen in bits and pieces, but guys who might really be on the radar of the general public that have a good future in Mayo.
Yeah, obviously, Mark Moran produced a really good performance in the National League game against Galway. He was top quality, picked up a small little quad nick then against Tyrone and struggled then after, but he's real quality. Paul Towie's real quality from Charlestown, the neighbouring club to ours. Dave McBrien, club mate of ours here, he's full back, he's 6'2", he's got huge pace. Joe's got a real chance. Jack Coyne from Ballyhonus. Joe, there's players kind of all through that could make a difference. And they're players that James likes because they've pace and they've power and they can, you know, they can attack. And that's what he likes. He likes high attacking football, high octane football, getting forward, breaking the line. So that's what he likes. And them players can all provide that. Then outside them guys who haven't been in the panel, the likes of Enda Hessian from Gary Moore is a real quality player. Jack Kearney from Kilmina, real quality player. And all them guys have a chance. Conor Diskin, who wasn't on the squad this year, and a few others like that. Joe, definitely give James options. And as Billy said, James is good at integrating these young guys and giving them a shot and trusting them. So fingers crossed we see more of that in 2021. And there's a bit of tension there because the guys are retiring, but then there's a bit of excitement because these new guys are coming in.
I think as well on some of the new players, I think that Knockmore won the county championship last year. You know, Kevin McLaughlin is probably the most recognisable player on the county panel from Knockmore, and I think that maybe James might have a look at some of those players. You know, Colm Reap is a goalkeeper. Obviously, you lose David Clark, a brilliant keeper. You're going to have to be bringing in people in that area. And two forwards and Peter Nocton and Aidan Orme and players like that may get a shot as well. So they might be the next fellas into the panel when you consider that you're losing the caliber of player that you have. So there are options there. And as Andy says, I think he's right in that there's always a level of talent in Mayo. You know, playing for the Mayo senior football team is the big thing in Mayo. It still is. It will continue to be. And it's about, I suppose, finding that blend and finding fellas that are really, really have that determination and drive to do what is necessary to put themselves in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting times ahead for Mayo and indeed for the Gaelic football landscape as well. Andy Moore and Billy Joe Padden, thanks a million for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a quick break.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.